Fine. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Is that what I told you, or did I say 3? Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Let's read verses 7 through 12. Here's what the Bible says. It says, "Then I returned, and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second." He's talking about people being alone with nobody. That's what the whole message is about here tonight. Two's better than one. So there's one alone, and there is not a second. He saw this, and it was vanity. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet there is no end of all his labor. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. You ever know anybody like that?
Yep.
Neither saith he, "For whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good?" This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fail or fall, if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. So I've known people like that. I know people like that who've lived their life, and all they care about is making money and heaping up stuff to themselves, and they have nobody. I mean, we've known different ones that had lots of money, had lots of property, had lots of things, and no children to leave them to. Nobody. No kinfolks. Nobody. Just, and that's what he's talking about here. He's seen it too, thousands of years ago. And how that's just not what life is about. You know, there's one of these verses I quoted often, but Jesus said, "A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Well, he had the authority to say that. He also had the life that he lived here on earth to back it up. Jesus didn't own anything here on earth. He didn't acquire any kind of earthly goods. And it's funny how people put their priorities. I don't know. I don't understand how a person could live in this world and live a long life and never understand this and never see this themselves. How can you work every day? I mean, there's no end of all his labor, he said there. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, "For whom do..." It never occurs to him. You know, that what am I doing this for? What's going to be the end of this? All this work and labor and managing and finagling and business that I do to gain for myself and nobody to share it with, nobody to leave it to. Never occurs to him. Well, that's vanity, said the preacher here. To spend life alone is not the best way. Right. Everybody knows that, don't they? Mm-hmm. It's not the best way. Now, there's times when all of us have felt like just being a hermit and getting away from everybody.
Yes.
You know, the astronauts went up yesterday, and I seen their names, Bob and Doug, by the way. Bob and Doug left. They decided to leave the Earth yesterday, and that was a good choice, they said. Well, we all feel like that. David felt like that in the psalm. He said, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away and be at peace. I'd fly far away into the wilderness." He said, "I'd like to just get away from all of this." Everybody has that once in a while, but you don't live in that. That's a passing thing. When you're discouraged and when things are tough and everything is not going right, then you think about doing that. But you don't want to live like that. You don't want to live out in the middle of nowhere by yourself.
Right.
Talk about going to Alaska and homesteading way back in the middle of nowhere by yourself. No, you just couldn't be happy like that. Because God didn't make us to be happy like that.
No.
We're not talking here about those who are widowed or those who are not able to have children, but about those who deliberately choose to be alone. See, we all understand that sometimes you just end up alone, especially when you're older. Life just happens that way. You just, you know, your loved ones and the situation and everything about life, you just end up alone. And we all know people who are like that.
Yes, sir.
And, But people like that, some of them, you know, they do find company in somewhere, somehow. You know, up at the nursing home, you see people like that. Who was it we were talking to the other day that had been up there? Oh, Sharon had been up there to visit and somehow got in. She managed to get in to see Mary. Because when she was in there, Mary was going around and trying to encourage everybody, and it made a difference, see?
Yes.
Instead of just being alone, just standing. There's some up there won't come out of the room, aren't there? They won't come out for nothing. They don't want to be around nobody. They don't want to see nobody. They want to be left alone. And those are not happy people, are they? Never. No. The happy people are the people who are with other people. People that don't marry. Now, sometimes that's just the way it happens. Sometimes that's the will of God. Sometimes it works out that way. And people sometimes don't have children, but people who choose deliberately to do these things, that's what he's talking about here. You have nothing to work for, nothing to live for. If you don't have somebody in your life that you love and care about and look to their future for, then you got nothing to live for. What are you living for? Yourself. Gather up stuff that's going to be somebody else's. They don't even know. I mean, who's going to take it? The state? Yeah, that's who gets it if you don't have anybody. No, for whom do I labor and bereave my soul of good? Verse 8. For whom do I labor? See, the preacher here said, it never occurs to him. They don't say this. They don't say, for whom do I labor? Normal people do. You know, men work. But to support their family. That's why they work. They don't do it because they love to work. You know, Gary, you was talking about this morning, all 5 years here of nights, and I was talking about Dorothy up there today. She wanted to take a nap there, and I thought, yeah, you took a nap a lot here a lot because we used to put her to bed on the couch because Gary didn't get home till 2 o'clock in the morning, usually. And then all this 7 to 7 gone every day. That ain't something you do just because you love to do it that way. But you do it for somebody else.
Yes.
You do it for your wife. You do it for your children. You got people that you care about, that you're responsible for, and that makes your life mean something. That gives you the power to go to work and get up and go. Because if they wasn't for them, I'd quit. That's the way we feel about it, and that's just the way it is. It's a purpose. Other people in your life give you purpose to go on, to live right. So many things, you know. You got a lot more incentive to seek God and to seek His face and to live for Him when you got little ones looking at you and following you, and you got any responsibility about your soul, about you at all, and you realize other souls are depending on me, it's a lot easier for you to walk right.
Yeah.
Life is meaningless when it's all labor and sacrifice, and it's simply for self. That just don't make sense. Why do I labor and sacrifice when it's just for me, and it takes all of my time and all of my strength so that I can't enjoy nothing about life? That's stupid right there. That's what that is. There's no satisfaction in riches that you only desire so you can hoard them to yourself. No satisfaction in that. The satisfaction is when you can provide for somebody else. When you can be a blessing to somebody else. The Bible talks about in the New Testament that we're to work with our hands. That we might be, one of the reasons is that we might be able to give to him that is in need.
That's right.
The whole purpose of working is not for ourselves. It's for others. That makes work a lot easier to do. Makes it a lot easier to endure. Sure does. So life has no meaning when you cannot give something to somebody else. There's no satisfaction in achievements when there's no one that it honors but yourself. Think about what I just said. You know, if a child grows up and is an honorable person and he achieves something in life, you know, some great thing, or just grows up and be and is a decent person, and a contributor to society. Who's honored by that? Him? Yeah. Well, his parents, his family. Everybody that's associated with him is honored by that too.
Yes, sir.
So any achievement that you get that just honors yourself is meaningless. Yeah. That's why these movie stars and celebrities kill themselves and have such a hard time living and being happy, is because it's all about them. Most of them live such a life that their family's ashamed of them.
Yeah.
They don't honor their family. And it doesn't honor themselves. They dishonor themselves, just like the Bible says in Romans chapter 1. And they're not happy. They're unfulfilled. Even though they may be an idol to everybody that worships them and pays their high wages and all that, but they are miserable in their soul because they're not helping people. It's all about them. A life lived alone. You know, Jesus said, well, in Acts 20 and verse 35, the Bible says that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so if we don't have, life has no meaning if we can't give to somebody else.
Yeah, sure.
Life lived alone is vanity and sore travail, he said here. The meaning of that, sore travail, it really means a calamitous affair. It's just a calamity when somebody lives their life alone. I can see faces. I can remember names all through my life of people that I've known that were just alone. You remember the fellow that used to come to church when we was at the old church? He came Wednesday nights for several weeks and lived out here and had nobody. Nobody. He was all alone. He finally died. That was it. I see these obituaries all the time where they die and they don't even tell anything about them. They don't mention any. They don't even mention their parents, family, siblings, wife, children. They ain't nothing. It's just them and they died. That's it. No story. Nothing to tell. Just they're dead. They lived and now they're dead. That's it. No services planned. It's a calamity to be alone and never have anybody who depends on you. You just never know what the meaning of life until somebody is depending on you.
Yeah.
Really is. When you're a child, it's not that way. You're dependent on other people. But when you grow up, it's just like Mom always told me, you'll never pay for your raise until you raise your own. This is part of the deal, see? They depend on you. You got to get up. You got to fix food. You got to buy the food. You got to go to work to get the money to buy the food. You got to wash the clothes, clean the house. You got to do everything that they need. They depend on you. Well, that gives life some meaning, though. It's not miserable for people to depend on you. It's a blessing. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's more blessed to be able to help somebody and take care of somebody and somebody depend on you than it is for you to depend on somebody else. You're not a happy person if you're dependent on everybody else and you never give to anybody else. You never take out of your pocket and put in theirs. You never take your strength and use it to take a load off of them. Then life has no meaning for you and you're not happy. Selfish is what it is. It's a calamity to be alone and never have anybody that you can depend upon. Because sometimes you need somebody else. He talked about here, if one fall, the other, his fellow lift him up. You know, that works both ways. And if you're not alone, you depend on each other. When children are little, they depend completely on you. But today's coming when you're going to depend on them too. Yeah. We joke a little bit once in a while and say, you better be nice to them because they're going to pick your nursing home.
Yes.
It's true.
Uh-huh, yep.
I mean, the wheel turns. Once a man, twice a child. It's the way life is. It really is. It's a calamity to be alone and never have anybody that you can depend on, and a person who's alone is a sad thing, and that we have all seen. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, very in the beginning of the Bible, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Now God said that. Then these verses here, it says two are better than one. While a very selfish person may, you know, argue that he's happier alone, he's in opposition to God with such thinking, because two are better than one. Now we're not talking about just having time alone once in a while. We're talking about permanent, continual, leave me alone. I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to see nobody. I want to be by myself. He says he's happier that way. Well, he's going against God, because the Bible just said here, two are better than one. And it's not good for a man to be alone. And it ain't good for a woman to be alone either. That's right. And it ain't good for a child to be alone either. They can get into all kinds of trouble when they're alone. Some people isolate themselves alone because they've been hurt by someone. A lot of people say, you know, they love dogs more than they do people now because dogs are more lovable than people. Well, that's just a statement of utter selfishness is what that is. Dogs are not better than people. A dog's okay. I ain't got anything against dogs. I had dogs when I was a kid. Two in my whole childhood. Two dogs. And they were just a part of our life. But they lived outside, not in the house with us. Amen. They didn't lick our plates and scatter hair all through the house. They stayed outside and they were nasty. And we loved them dogs, and they were just like part of the family, really. I mean, we did. They was just, but they were a dog. They weren't another one of the kids. I wasn't their daddy. I didn't call their puppies my grandbabies. Oh. Gotta get off on that. Being alone. Dog is okay, but he's not really good company.
Right.
He can't talk to you. He can't do anything but lick your hands or your face if you let him. We may understand and sympathize with someone like that, but it's simply selfish and ungodly behavior to be that way, to isolate yourself away from other people. Now, it's just selfish behavior. There, you can't define it, you can't understand it any other way than it's selfish. You don't like people and you don't want to be around people? It's because you're selfish.
Yep.
You think you're your own best company, and then you're not happy alone. Whatever reasons you may give for maintaining your solitude and isolation, it's contrary to the Word of God and to God's will. It's just contrary. When you say, I don't want to be around anybody and I want to be by myself permanently, that you're just going against God. You're going against the Scripture and what it teaches us here and declares. Now, the reasons why two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. How about that? There's a lot of things that make it better. We always had a little saying when the kids were little, and they would be like popping beans and doing stuff like that, things that took a lot of work, hauling firewood and all of that stuff. Many hands make light the labor. So that's the truth. Two are better than one.
Yes.
It's a whole lot easier to get it done when it's hard work if you got two working instead of just one. It's always better. Two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. That means they have a precious benefit. You both work for it. You both work for it so you can share it. It just means a whole lot more. There's more pleasure and satisfaction from the labor because it's for the benefit of someone besides yourself whom you love. You know, when you pop all those beans, like in the summer, we'd buy bushels of green beans, and we used to try to grow them. What the deer didn't get, we got. But all year long, when you're eating those beans, everybody's remembering the work that went into it.
Sure.
So two's better than one. And if two's better than one, a threefold cord is not easily broken. It makes the labor more bearable. It's a motivation when you would otherwise despair of labor. There's somebody else with you. Somebody helping you. You know, everybody in the world, you know, I've been around a lot of preachers. They talk about just needing help. Just some help. I've heard the women of the house say it. I just, you know, crying about help. Won't somebody help me around here? Well, somebody ought to help. That's right. Ain't it true that if everybody just pick up their clothes and put them where they belong, it'd sure make it a lot easier on one person having to do it on? Boy, that must have really rung a bell there. But it's like, sort of like what we were talking about this morning. People focus on negative or positive things. And you know, they say, well, all these people, they won't do right, they won't pick up their clothes, and you just almost wish you was alone. Didn't have to put up with all this. No. No, what's the verse about the where the crib is clean? You know, there's no oxen where the crib is clean. So there's no meat, there's no power, there's no nothing to get it all done. Working and people make messes. Where there's a lot of people, there's a lot to clean up. There's a lot more work to do. But that makes it worth it, having somebody around. You want to be by yourself? You want to sit in your solo chair? You know, sit in your chair solo or sola? Nobody around, and no voices, and no conversation, and no activity, and you just sit there and enjoy your tranquility. No, you won't. You'll be thinking about when there was activity here and when there was people here, and you'll want to find them and talk to them, and you'll wish that they were here. So you have help in trouble when there's two instead of one. Bible said there in verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. How many do we know of right here in our little group here? How many older folks especially do we know that were by themselves, living by themselves, and they fell and broke a hip or something and laid there for a long time till somebody found them? And that stuff happens all the time. Yeah, because they're alone and they fall, right, and there's nobody to help them.
Right.
If there was somebody there, if there was two, there'd be somebody there to help them. When I was about, I don't know, probably 10 years old, I don't know, when Grandpa got sick that time, we was out there at his house. It was me and David and Keith were staying with Grandpa. Grandma was at work, and he had a bleeding ulcer, and he just got really sick. And we were the only ones there. And he told me to get the phone and call the neighbors. And so I did call Teresa, your sister-in-law. But anyway, I told her what was going on, and they got up there and got some help. But if we hadn't have been there, I wonder what would have happened. Because he was too sick to... Yeah, he was too sick. Yeah. So it's... Having two instead of one sometimes saves your life. Yes. Many times saves your very life. You got to have help. When are we ever going to realize and quit being so proud that and admit that we need help sometimes?
Yep.
It works that way spiritually and every other way. We're not an island to ourselves in spiritual things either. You know, we don't know everything about God. Ain't one of us in this room knows everything we need to know about God. And there ain't one of us in here that's wise enough and sharp enough to avoid all the problems and things that the devil might throw at us. And we need one another.
Yes,
that's why we have church.
Yes,
that's why God set it up this way. So that we can edify one another. That means build up. That means help. That means protect.
Yes.
Keep from falling.
Yes,
we're to strengthen and help one another because God set it up that way. He made more than one person.
Yes.
to live on this earth. And he made us to be a blessing to one another. Sin has made things a wreck. Man, that's why they're out in the streets tonight burning and looting and killing other people over their hatred and stuff.
Yes, sir.
When you fall, not if you fall. Do you notice that?
Right.
It's going to happen to you sooner or later. Well, it says, the verse says, if they fall, one will lift up the other. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. So, it's going to happen to you sooner or later. You're going to need somebody else to help you. And when you're sick or hurt, it's a great comfort to have somebody to help.
Yes, sir.
Ain't that true?
Yep.
There's some people that they say when they're sick, just don't touch me. Just leave me alone. Just get away from me. But I have a hard time believing that's really right. Most people are not like that at all. When you're sick and miserable and somebody just is there to help, just to touch you, that's a comfort. Just to feel the touch of somebody else. Ain't that true?
Yes.
That's true in the nursing home, ain't it? That's what they miss more than anything is just the touch.
Yes.
A hug.
Yes.
Just a hand on their hand. That just does more than medicine does. It really, really does.
Yep.
So, woe unto him that is alone when he falls. There are times when you fall and you can't get up by yourself. What happens then? If nobody's there to help you and you can't get up, well, woe unto you. This is a bad deal for you. There's no hope for you. You may die there. When it's cold, you can keep each other warm, it says. That's what it says. Little baby animals doesn't. Livy took me up there yesterday. Had to get me up there looking at them nasty kittens in that box up there. Of course, there they were, just all in a pile. They wasn't scattered out saying, "Meow, stay away from me, meow." No, they was all piled in a pile together. You got little children, and if they play together and sleep together or anything, that's the way you'll find them too.
Yep.
They won't be pushed away from each other, they'll be all hugged up.
Yep.
When you're both alone together and all the world's against you, then there's still comfort. I mean, if you still got somebody that's with you and on your side, if everybody else is against you, it's still a comfort to have one person. It's much easier to face rejection from everyone else if you have someone who's always with you.
Yes.
Yep. Two are better than one. In any case, when the enemy comes, there's more strength to withstand when there's someone with you and on your side. And a threefold cord speaks of family. That's what it does. That's what it's talking about.
Yep.
As arrows in the hand of the mighty men, so is the sort of the children of thy youth. And his children, you know, they'll stand at the gate.
Right.
That means two guns are better than one, and three is better than two.
Yep.
Arrows, guns, swords, cannons, whatever, fists. Three is better than two. It's not easy to overcome when there's more than one. What does a wolf do? What does any kind of animal of prey do? Do they attack the whole herd and try to get them all? No, they single one out. And they try to get one that's alone. That's what they look for. And that's what they work to do, is to get them separated from everybody else, from their mother, whatever, and get them alone. Then they can get them. So when an enemy comes, there's more strength to withstand if there's more than one. So the lesson here is that we need other people. We need one another. God made us that way. And God designed in his creation of us and all things that all things work together, not a bunch of solitary lone wolves doing their own thing. We're the body of Christ. The church is a body, and we're each one members of one body. And you can't be a member without a body. You cut that hand off and throw it over there, and it's dead. It ain't going to live without the body. You can't separate members from a body without killing the whole body. And so we need one another. A selfish person will be a lonely person. And if we see a lonely person who's alone because they want to be, you can be pretty sure that they've been a selfish person. Yeah. That's true. I believe that is true. You see people, I've known people. You know, I remember all through my life different things when I was a kid, and these old people around, you know, some of them were nice, sweet people, blessing. We liked them. Others, man, I had them pull guns on me and everything else. Of course, we were just chopping down the trees through his property, but, you know, with machetes. But that wasn't no reason to pull a gun on us. But I remember that old man. He didn't have nobody. He was a loner. One of them. And it was his trees. See? It's always the same. You find a loner that's a loner because he wants to be, you find a selfish, miserable person. You find somebody that's alone, not of their own choosing, and they'll be trying to find some fellowship, friendship, companionship. They'll do something to try to be around other people. They won't just isolate themselves and brood over it. Amen. Two's better than one. Sure is. Not good to be alone. Don't glory in being alone. It's good to have time alone. But that's not what we're talking about here tonight. Jesus went apart alone. But the rest of the time, there he was, right in the middle of everything, with everybody, taking care of other people, giving, and being a blessing. So, amen. All right. Thank you, Lord, for the message here. Pray you'd help us to remember this. I pray it'd be a guide to our life. And when we get to feeling offended, aggravated, tired, and weary with other people, that we would realize this truth here and how much we need other people and how lonely life would be without anybody else in our life. Lord, pray you'd go with us now, help us through this week, work in our country and bring all this nonsense to a halt. And Lord, have mercy on our country and help us to walk wisely in these days. Protect us, Lord, from all the evil around us. Protect our families and our children. And give us wisdom, Lord, to walk for you, with you, and in your ways in this evil and sad time that we're living in. And Lord, we look for you to come. It'd be wonderful if you'd just come in this week for your church. But Lord, we pray for our loved ones that are lost. Pray you'd work in hearts. Help these this week that are going into new things. Gary with his job, help him, Lord, to do well at this. And I pray it work out to be a real blessing. Pray for Daniel also, that he would do right. And that he would grow up and learn to listen. And so, Lord, we pray that you would go with us now. We thank you for a good Lord's day. In Jesus' name, amen.